from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You guys know I'm going to Las Vegas. Hell yeah, I'm going.
Clint Kubiak. And what he can bring is the hope that he is the young, up-and-coming coordinator on the offensive side of the ball who they can attach to a quarterback of the future.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson. Coming up, Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on ESPN, Disney Plus, ESPN, the app, ESPN Radio, so much more. We've got a big audience today and for the rest of the week and next week. And then after that, because we travel with big audiences wherever we go. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. So much to discuss here. Tom Pelissero in hour number three with what's going on in the National Football League now that we've got ourselves a Super Bowl champion from back in the day. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. And I believe, is he ready, Mike Hoskins? Is he? Okay, let's do this. Listen, as you know, Kurt Warner was on this program every week of the NFL season giving his terrific opinion of what's going on. And he's one of my favorites. So I thought to myself, who can potentially join us, hook up with us on a weekly basis now that the NFL season is over and we're going to start digging into basketball, both professional and college, and somebody who I love as well, who's also a Hall of Famer and who I love to have on the show whenever he says yes. And he said yes. He's going to join us every week.
All right.
To talk some hoops.
Yes, sir.
He's a pro basketball Hall of Famer. And he's number one in my program and number one in my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Webber.
C-Webb.
Let's go.
What's going on?
What's up, Rich?
I love that background. Look at this. Look at where you are. I love it.
Got Sugar Hill.
It's awesome.
Back there.
Well, I got to find something, you know, better, a little more stable. But, you know, it was kind of quick. So I was like, hey, I got a bunch of records. I might as well do it in front of some records.
But is that the Scarface soundtrack or on the top level right there? Like
it is. I have Casino, Scarface, the Isley Brothers, wow. James Brown, DMC, Def Row, some good ones.
This is why I love you, man. You're more than just about hoops. Chris Webber here on the program. It was great to see you. I ran into you at the Super Bowl. That was great to see you there as well. Did you stay for the game?
Or no, I didn't. You know what? I really have a rule with the Super Bowl is that my tradition is watching it in the living room. I know it's great experience to be there at the game, but all my memories from growing up to being older to dreaming about the game was eating food in the living room, running back and forth and yelling. So I made sure I came home to catch the game on the tube.
Okay. Now I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being a man of tradition and a man of family and a man of many different desires, okay?
Right.
But if the Detroit Lions are in the Super Bowl, you're not
staying. I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Stay in Detroit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm going
sure.
All week. I'm getting there a week early. Like, I'm part of the media just to hang out. So, I'm getting there early.
Okay. Yeah. So, let's talk about All-Star Weekend. We could see at the bottom, you played in five of them, including, let's talk about your first one. 1997. You're in the All-Star game, and I see who's there in it. I mean, this is the Jordan Pippen. This is the real deal, who was there from back in the day. What was it like for you to stroll into that All-Star game in 1997? Chris?
It was crazy because it was in Cleveland, I believe. And what was so special was that was the 50 greatest. So I actually got to shake, you know, at the time, Bill Russell. And I didn't get to shake Wilt Chamberlain's hand, but I got to stand next to him and Cousy and some other greats, you know, of course, Jordan and Magic and those guys. So to me, being there at the celebration of the 50th was great. I think Glenn Robinson, who was a childhood hero of mine, Glenn Rice, who was a childhood hero of mine, he broke, I think, Wilt Chamberlain's record for most points in a quarter. And I remember Jordan and guys pumping him up saying, shoot, shoot, shoot. And, you know, I remember all the pageantry, all the parties, you know, before and after. So for me, it was so special because it's a time, you know, when you feel like, okay, I've made it, but here's a different level to making it and getting to share with your family, friends, and the city of D.C. at that time was special.
Yeah. On the Eastern All-Star team, Jordan, Pippen, Ewing, Dumars, Tim Hardaway Sr., who's coming in here tomorrow, actually, Christian Laettner, Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo, you, Glenn Rice. I mean, my goodness, great. Penny Hardaway, I think I mentioned. Then on the Western side of things, the Glove, John Stockton, Hakeem Olajuwon, Garnett, my gosh, Malone, Shaq. Wow. And then you're saying on top of it, the top 50 were there too? On top of it?
Yeah, it was this big celebration. So we got to watch them get their jackets and hang out and everything like that. So, yeah, I think the arena was somewhat new at that time. And so even going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all the things that, you know, you get to do while you're in the Cleveland area, it was special. Especially, you know, for me, you grow up and you dream. And after every All-Star game, you know, you go outside and you try to do the dunks the guys were doing, even in Michigan when it was snowing. And for a whole week without social media, we're talking about those moves, you know, what guys did and how special it was. And, you know, to kind of transition to this year's and to kind of the current conversation, Rich, I hope that that's what players understand. I think part of getting there is remembering who you were before you got there. And what I mean is honoring that person. So all these guys, they're the best players in the league. They worked hard. I mean, they earned it. They worked hard to get there. And if they remember, you know, who those guys were back when, you know, they didn't have a beard and mustache, when no one knew their name, when it wasn't cool to be, you know, you, then you'll kind of honor the game the most. And I remember, you know, guys letting you shoot and kind of letting you do your thing, but at the end, you know, you wanted to win. So hopefully that part comes back to the game.
Chris Webber, Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show, and two guys from that All-Star experience I want to ask you about any interactions. And you just mentioned one. You mentioned Bill Russell. Was it just a quick handshake? Just you, were you able to pick his brain? Did he say anything? You were like, hey, I love you. Or your shorts were too long in college. I mean, what was it? What was it like, Chris? Anything?
You know, what's funny is that time was a quick shake my hand, you know, beat it, kid. I'm here, you know,
sure.
You know, with my buddies. But later we did develop a relationship, and shout out to your partners at TNT that allowed me to do an interview with him. And so later on, I got to interview him and I brought my father to the interview. And what, you know, he told me, I'll never forget. You know, I think that's one of the few times my father shed tears. And part of that was because of some things he told my father about their upbringing, but also about what he really kind of respected the guys at Michigan, and things I never really thought that he would say or acknowledge. Or you figure, hey, he's so old school that, you know, I just remember his laugh. He cackled. I mean, he was the loudest laugher in the building, and he loved telling stories. And one of his favorite stories is, you know, recently at the Hall of Fame, before he passed away, I was with Ben Wallace, I think Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and he was talking about showing us pictures on his phone of him high jumping and how he was one of the champions high jumpers, but he just jumped over the high jump bar regular, if you could believe that. Not backwards or anything like that, but just straight over. So I did become pretty close with him, and it started there in Cleveland.
I love that. And look at that man on the screen right there.
Man,
Chris
on,
Brockman,
man.
Say what you said to me in my ear. Chris Brock.
Yeah, it's so weird you brought him up, C-Web. Today would have been Mr. Russell's 92nd birthday.
Today.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
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 That's crazy. That's awesome. And when you look at like, let's just talk about like some trends, right? When you look at some of the stuff that he did, like when you think about the golfers from Joe Louis and many other athletes, but you know, he's on Sports Illustrated on the cover, sitting there on a golf cart. And I asked him, why did he do that? And he was just telling me, you know, just kind of some of his thoughts on life and how he loved playing golf. And if you were going to catch him in the summer, you better take the photo shoot on the golf course and not in any gym, because he's not coming there anytime soon. You know, so I just love the way that, again, that he looked at life. And, of course, the winner he is, and, of course, the human, the champions for human rights that he was. But when it comes down to it, he was just a good man with a loud laugh.
No doubt. Good man with a loud laugh. Perfectly put, Chris Webber. And then the Michael Jordan of it all. You're a teammate of his on an all-star team, but I imagine you'd met him many times before. Certainly, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Juwan have like a connection with him, like working out with him when he was doing Space Jam and stuff like that, Chris? Am I not mistaken about that?
Yeah, Juwan, you know, Juwan was privileged. He's from Chicago, and, you know, he had the same agent, and, no, all that good stuff. But yeah, Juwan was close with him, however. You know, I never had that opportunity except, you know, from afar playing and things like that. And okay. So for me, you know, it was a special day. One, you know, he understood my game because he kind of told me, you know, suggested some things in the game, like, you should do this and that. And I'm like, wow, you know, I could do that. And, you know, but he knew our competitiveness, and he knew we were going to talk junk to him because, you know, even when we were in Washington, you know, we were like, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down swinging. Our parents are here, our friends are here, so let's talk junk and go at Jordan, you know. And then he would score 55 in the playoff game. But those are the type of things that, you know, that would happen. So, no, it was cool sitting next to him and watching him encourage all the other guys.
Now, I know, Chris, you're known for your brashness and known for speaking things into existence and known for your confidence. But you talk junk to Michael Jordan, Chris Webber? Really?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, at Washington, you know, sometimes you're stupid enough to do some things, you know what I mean? But also, it was, you know, the day that we grew up, our favorite players, my favorite player was Barkley or Dominique Wilkins or Jordan or Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, we didn't have 24-hour access to these guys, but we did know their messaging. And part of their messaging was, you know, you're going to miss every shot you don't take. You better work your butt off. And fear is nothing. And so whether it was, you know, talking to Jordan then or trying to do it during the Olympic practices, yeah, we thought that we were honoring them by being part of the game, because that's the one thing. I mean, he's the greatest that's ever played. But part of that is, you know, we all put our shoes on the same way. And for him to be the greatest, is he has to respect everyone else in that room. Or how can you be the greatest if you don't respect that? And so part of his whole thing is he didn't want guys playing against him scared and timid. And we weren't going to do that. Our whole thing was, listen, you are the man, but I'm going to go home and brag that we beat y'all tonight. And for us, you know, it's a championship till, you know, the guys in the suits and the GMs get it right. So, you know, it was fun going up against the greatest players ever and letting them know that you were next.
Chris Webber here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who is your favorite player to watch in today's game? Who's that guy?
Where you're I can't give you one,
okay.
But I would start with Kevin Durant and Booker. And I'll tell you why. And Gilgeous Alexander. I feel that the greatest players in the game have to have a mid-range game. And I'm going to put Curry with that, too. Curry is the greatest three-point shooter ever. And I would challenge anyone, and I would say part of that, of course, is because he makes the shot. But part of that is because he's the greatest cutter ever. What does he and Reggie Miller have in common? Their footwork and their cutting. And so let's just say, Steph, his threat is he can make the next three-pointer, and you better get up on him. As soon as you do, he's going to back cut you and he's going to finish with a layup. And so to me, players that have the nuance, players that can score anytime, I do not like specialists. You know, I love guys that can go to work. Of course, Jaylen Brown, what he's done this year. I mean, so watching, you know, guys like that can go to work and get their shot anywhere, those are the guys I love watching to play.
Well, and I just, again, when you played, Chris, obviously you had me at hello from, you know, from jump. But the thing that I was always marveling watching you play was a man of your size being able to move the way that you did, the way that you could run the floor, the way that you could finish, certainly with ferocity around the rim. What do you think of when you see Victor Wembanyama play, Chris?
Man. My kid's favorite movie. I don't know why he hasn't been called this, so we might have to track it because I haven't heard him call it. But he's an avatar, man. He's like the his skill and his talent is incredible, and his hunger and respect for the game match that. You know, to me, you have to have a respect for your craft that everyone can see, touch, and feel. I think LeBron had it when he first came into the game, the way he would pay homage to the Kobe's and them. You know that a Kobe had it. You know that Jordan had it, who still doesn't say he's the best. But, you know, I just really love his game. I love the attention to detail. By knowing some people in the organization in San Antonio, you know, I know he's a great teammate. And so he is someone that I would put in that category, you know, also with a Jokovic. You know, I love big guys that can pass, dribble, and do everything. And right, that's what I love. Would I like to see him in the post a little bit more? Of course, but that's going to be every day because he's that great. But to have that skill set at that size, that's what the game is all about. Whether you're 5'5" like a Muggsy Bogues or 7'6" like Wembanyama, can you dribble twice, hit a jump shot? Does your pump fake work? Can you get to the hole? And are you respected late in the game for your free throws? And so those guys definitely fill that role.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say it reminds you of Avatar. And again, Chris Brockman, who you'll get to know on a weekly basis here on the program, where you met when you were physically here in studio, go ahead and say what you said in my ear, because that is exactly what an avatar is. Go ahead and say it.
Yeah, so just every photo or still shot you see of Wemby, it looks photoshopped. It doesn't look real.
Doesn't look real.
Like his whole arm is over the basket. His eyes are even with the rim. He's so long.
Yeah, when he kicked, when three basketballs got stuck in the net and he just lifted his leg to use the tip of his foot to kick it up in the air to knock the balls loose, standing flat on the ground.
You thought it was AI.
What the heck was that? Yeah. It's insane, Chris.
It's crazy. Part of, you know, we say you can't stop any one person in the league, and I really believe that if they go to their favorite moves. The most dominant player I've ever seen is Shaquille O'Neal. I don't think people just don't realize how dominant, how athletic, how fast, how quick, and how strong he was, and that he had finesse. And at the time, coaches would not allow him to, which they shouldn't have, go out of the paint. But you'll see him at All-Star Game and other clips where he could cross over and do things. When I evaluate a player, I evaluate them from, you know, all the normal metrics and game, da 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 da, but also go into a personal bag and say, how would I defend them? And so if it's Wembanyama, I would say you got to be physical with him, right? But I would also say, wait, he can catch and face up on the post. He can catch and cut one dribble jump hook. Wait a minute, he can step back on the free. Wait, he comes and he can set the pick and roll and pick or pop. So when I look at the potential of someone like that, I mean, it is absolutely, it's scary, and it's really, truthfully, not fair. It's not fair because we've not seen anything like that before.
And I'm knocking on wood for his health, because, man, do I want to see him in the playoffs. I want to see the Spurs go on a run, and I want to see what's going to happen if they take on, you know, Oklahoma City in a seven-gamer. Like, that's the sort of thing I'm looking forward to right now. Chris.
Rich, we're going to get to that, I'm sure.
Sure.
That's right. Yeah, but I have San Antonio. Everybody's sleeping on San Antonio. When Fox went there last year, I just laughed and talked to Popovich, and, you know, we love you, Pop. But if you remember their team with the great Tim Duncan and David Robinson, they had hype, but what did they have? They had Tony Parker. Why was he special? In a time with Shaquille O'Neal, this guy was at the top of points in the paint because of pick and roll and that little hook shot he had. So he put defenses in a terrible situation because he got in the paint and could pass out to shooters like Ginobili and others, right? That's all Fox and these guys are going to do. And I just watched them get better and better and better. And I think they're going to surprise some people with the potential that they have coming together earlier than people thought.
All right, TJ, you want to hit one for Chris and we'll let him go on with the rest of his day here and see him next week? What do you got, TJ?
What's up, Chris? How you been, man?
Hey, man, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good to see you. You know, back in the day, in our day, in the early 90s, you were one of the first cats, right, who kind of changed the game into a game of a big man with guard skills. You know what I'm saying? A 6'9", 6'10", 6'14 player who could play down low, handle the rock, shoot. So who in today's game do you see a little bit of Chris Webber? And are there players that you look at and go, man, that cat reminds me of me?
No. These players are so good today. I do believe it's the same skill set, but coaches have given them a freedom that we didn't have, so it's hard to judge with the consistency, you know, of that. I love Jokic. I would love to say, you know, I got a chance to play a little power forward and to have the ball as many times as he has in his spots. You know, it's a mastery, you know, at what he does. When I look at Giannis, the fact that before it was take two dribbles and get it to a teammate, the fact that he could take his time, lead the break, and take a slower guy and dunk on him maybe when they had a five on me would be, you know, interesting. But I just love the evolution of coaching. I don't think it's the evolution of players because I saw guys like Magic, Derek Coleman, Steve Smith, and them dribbling. They just weren't allowed to do it in a game. And then it took other coaches maybe to transition that were younger to trust guys to go there. And then it would incrementally kind of grow. And so, no. But I really don't see that only because you don't even have guys posting up anymore. So it's kind of hard to kind of regulate that. But I will say that the great game is in a great place because these guys have freedom and what they're doing with that freedom is incredible.
C-Web, you are the man. I am so psyched you said yes when we're like, hey, how about every week on the program? And, you know, the season is going to get more and more intense. And then, of course, there comes March Madness with a certain team in Ann Arbor, Michigan that has a two-game lead in the Big Ten regular season that just can beat you in a million different ways right now. But maybe we'll talk about them a little bit too, Chris.
I'm sure. It'll be fun. Let's go. I'm excited. Thanks for the invite.
No, you come on.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Let's do it. Enjoy the All-Star game wherever you're going to be taking it in, and we'll chat next week. Thanks, Chris. Look forward
to it. Sounds
good. Ladies and gentlemen, Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber. So many different ways to go when we talk to the Renaissance man. Put up that picture of Bill Russell one more time, if you don't mind. This is a famous photograph of him.
All the rings, yeah.
Rings. I mean, the other things that I think of 11, all the
right,
rings.
TJ,
he didn't have enough fingers.
That's correct. But the two rings that you see on one finger is the size of a current championship ring, right?
Right. Yeah. The two together.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's quite as.
Like, if you sized two of his championship rings from his Celtics days from the ring that, you know, Wick gave everybody a couple years ago, right? Would it match? Or would the current ring be bigger than the footprint of two rings on top of each other?
I think the current ones are bigger. That's one of my favorite things at Super Bowl experience or when you go to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You see the evolution of the championship rings over the course of NFL history.
Yeah.
You know, the Packers' original ones are so small, much like the ones that Bill is wearing right now.
Joe Namath is like a pinky ring.
Yeah, Joe Namath is so. And then all of a sudden, I don't know when it started, but they're just enormous now.
Right. I mean, now some of them.
Now there's a ring inside the ring.
Right. Like you can snap it open,
it's like
or twist
doll.
It. Right, yeah.
That was Russian nesting.
Right.
You open up one, and now you can put the top on a chain.
Yeah, it's true. You know, did the Eagles ring this year have wings on it?
Yeah.
Could you, if the Celtics did have one of those rings that you could twist
you
open?
Put those rings inside.
Could you put one of Bill Russell's rings
you
in
put
it?
Put two of them in.
100%.
Yo, I say we got to give a shout out to my man Jason of Beverly Hills.
Yeah,
he makes a lot of these rings. Jason, here's an idea. Put an old ring inside of a new ring, and that way they can have two rings.
Yeah, so you could keep it.
One for parties and one to wear all the time.
Because you can't wear it around all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's too crazy out in them streets. So you need like a dummy ring just so you can front a little.
Dummy ring.
But you don't really want to wear the real one.
Look at the number of rings, the size of the rings, and of course the man. Happy 92nd heavenly birthday.
Yeah. Wow, crazy.
To Bill Russell.
Legend.
Let's take a break. We're back with more here on The Rich Eisen Show in a moment. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take some phone calls, shall we? Let's go to Swamp Dog in Waycross, Georgia. What's up, Swamp Dog? How you been?
What's going on, Mr. Rich Eisen? It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Right back at you, Mr. Swamp Dog. What's going on?
Well, listen.
Hold on a second. Before you get started, I want to make sure graphically that this is supported. Is it Swamp D-A-W-G or D-O-G? How would you like to have it spelled on the screen here?
It's D-A-W-G.
Okay, let's correct this because right now it's just straight up D-O-G. Okay,
like George Godalis.
The calls Waycross, Georgia is known for the Okefenokee Swamp Park.
Very good.
So I combine the swamp and the dog.
We have now corrected it graphically on the screen, so you have the floor, Swamp Dog.
Okay. Well, Ernest Jones is from Waycross, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that or not, but he played high school football right here in Waycross.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was dropping a bunch of four-letter words yesterday and everything, you know, emotions and excitement about winning the Super Bowl. Of course he would, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not uncommon people do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this about it. That's his second Super Bowl that he's won. And he won one with the Rams with Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
No, the Georgia dog there. But when he comes, his family still lives here in Waycross. It's a small town, you know. But when he comes back, we have a parade for him here, too.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because and what he does when he comes back here, he goes into the poorer sides of town, and he showers people with gifts.
No kidding.
I'd like people to know that he does that kind of thing. You always hear the bad stuff about these millionaire football players and everything. You know, they're so selfish and they don't care about. He cares about where he comes from. Every time you see him introduced on TV, he says Ernest Jones, Waycross, Georgia. He don't say the Ohio State University or anything like that.
Right.
He says Waycross, Georgia. That's all he says. And he's proud of where he's from. Like I said, his family still lives here, and we know who he is. And we're very proud of what he's been able to accomplish. I didn't think he was going to be yet as good as he is. He's really one of the best linebackers in the NFL, in my opinion. So I just want to give him a shout-out. I didn't like his language that much.
Neither. By the way, Swamp Dog, he said, and I appreciate. Thanks for the call. He also said his grandfather didn't like the language too, and so hopefully Grandpa had
earmuffs
on yesterday. Because boy, but that's pretty neat. I'm glad that Swamp Dog shared that.
That's awesome.
I hope next football season we can do a little bit of that, you know, just chase the good stories. Because like you said, there's always so much negative around these guys, and yet the positive definitely outweighs the negative.
And
hopefully we can, you know, shine a light on this a little bit.
And that's why I love the, if you will, best picture of the NFL honors is the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. It's not the MVP.
And that's, you know, it was funny. A few years ago when we realized, you know, like, wow, that just closed
the show.
The show, does that mean this is bigger than the MVP in it? Kind of.
Well, there's no patch for the MVP, is there?
Yeah, no.
Well, maybe there should be. That's kind of a cool idea.
What, a patch for the MVP?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That would be
pretty. That's kind of cool. Mahomes has one that's got two-time.
I know, I know.
Like the, Rodgers wears a four-time one.
The Walter Payton is special with its patent.
No, it's an individual award, right? Most valuable player. And every MVP does the right thing and points out it's a team game. And Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is
specifically for the individual and their work.
But in a community to make more than just a 53-man roster and a franchise front office and all the staff better. I mean,
to make a city and a community.
I do love the patch.
I do too, yeah.
You know, and they put the sticker on the helmet of all the nominees as well.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they do that. And it's a great idea. By the way, I'd walk around with that patch all the time.
Didn't the year Witt won, it was the year they were in the Super Bowl, right? And they put the patch on for the game?
Yes. They started doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're fortunate enough to be in the Super Bowl.
Right, but I think that's the only time
happened. I think someone will break out the needle and thread for you.
Yeah.
If that's the case. Bobby Wagner won it this year.
Yep.
So I guess technically a Seahawk won it. I understand he's been with the Washington franchise, the Commanders, for a bit.
Yeah, but
he
makes his way to that bus room, people are going to think of him as a...
Well, I mean, yeah, that's for sure. Let's take another phone call here, shall we? Let's go to Alex in New York City, where we're on ESPN radio there as well. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, Rich, can you hear me?
We can. What's up?
Awesome. How you doing? How you doing?
Where in New York City are you calling in from? Manhattan?
Manhattan, and I'm originally from the Southern California area, so I'm a big Lakers fan.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. You're in the wrong city now, pal. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I've personally given up, on a finals run this season, like a lot of us have. You know, it's pretty clear we don't have a championship team. We didn't make those moves at the trade deadline. So, going into this offseason, given the Lakers, I believe, are projected to, have the most cap space in the league, mm-hmm. do you think it's important for us to prioritize re-signing LeBron and paying him that asking price of what, even if it is that $50 million, or is it time for us to maybe move on and start building this team around that Luka and Austin Reeves backcourt? Because quite frankly, I'm watching our games sometimes, and I know the three of them haven't played together that much this year.
Right.
But I feel like we can reconstruct this team so much better around that backcourt, and I don't think re-signing LeBron is the answer. You know, he's my GOAT. I love him, but maybe it's time to move on.
Well, I guess, Alex, we kind of touched on this subject matter a little bit with Brian Windhorst in studio on Wednesday. It really is, what does LeBron want? Because if LeBron's like, I am playing and I am ring chasing, I would not blame him for a second. Like, he wants to finish with confetti. That's the way every GOAT and certainly all-time great like LeBron wants to end. And is Los Angeles that spot? And the answer is potentially yes, but at his current financial freight, and maybe not. Now, will he say, I'm LeBron James and I deserve to be paid like I am LeBron James with the gate that I provide and all of this stuff? Would he have every right to do that? Absolutely. Would he be... a better ring chaser if he's more affordable? Yeah, I think so. And we talked about it again with Windhorst on Wednesday. He mentioned Dirk Nowitzki at the end of his career taking less to stay with the Mavericks. And I made the analogy of Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers made, what, $12 million this year?
Something like that, yeah, 14.
Aaron Rodgers could easily have said to the Steelers, I'm not leaving Malibu for anything less than $40 million. And they might have been like, well, then.
Yeah, I think they were the pass.
Thank you, no.
Right.
And the market spoke. How will the market speak for LeBron? I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows at all how much he's going to want and where he's going to want to play. And that's where it starts, Alex. The Lakers, I'm sure, would love to keep him. Why wouldn't they? And the Lakers are kind of like in your adopted town, Alex, the Yankees, where they put on a show for an all-time great. They love retirement years. They can really give you every last ounce of it if you're looking for something that feels special. They can really put on a show, End of story. The Lakers do exactly that. The Lakers would love to have, I would think, LeBron walk off into the sunset as a Laker, having confetti coming down from, you know, crypto. That's they'd be all over that. But to make it happen, I don't know what they could fit in salary wise. And let's see how he finishes the season. You know, we were all assuming he's just going to be at the same level of physical and mental greatness because he's LeBron. You know, I know that's a bit of a nuanced answer, Alex, but that's my answer for you.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
You got it. And Alex, it's Alex in Manhattan. New York City would be also, you know, I guess what?
Staten Island. Staten Island.
Queens. Bro, have you been to Staten Island yet, Alex?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've been here a couple of years, still haven't made it out.
It's okay. There's a ferry. There's a whole world out there, Alex. There's a whole world out there.
Alex, you're good in
Manhattan. No. There's some great food on Staten Island, pal.
There is. They got pizza.
Great. Yeah.
There's no food in Manhattan. You're right.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about. You think you know what you're talking about. You don't. And by the way, be on your best behavior for Alex. Thanks for the call, bud. That's Alex in Manhattan.
That was pretty aggressive, Rich.
Why was it aggressive?
I don't know.
You're the one aggressive with me.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to claim Staten Island is New York City.
You claim that Maine is New England.
It is.
It's not according to Casey Affleck. It's not. He kind of sunned Maine a little bit. I got to
be honestly, for somebody.
So you think New England is just Boston?
That's what the Boston.
No. New England.
That's what you're implying now.
And you think New York City is just Manhattan?
If someone...
It's not.
Brian Windhorst was here yesterday. He's from Omaha, Nebraska. If someone from Omaha, Nebraska thinks I'm going to New York City for vacation.
Yes.
And you drop them off in Staten Island.
Yes.
They're going to be like, where the hell am I?
But where do they land, Chris? They most likely land in Queens. Because that's where JFK is.
Where the hell am I?
That's where LaGuardia is.
Where am I?
That's New York City. Bud.
Not to someone from middle America.
Yeah, but if you think I'm going to New England, people think I'm going to Boston.
That's, they do not.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Oh, what are they? On, no. I'm going to Rhode Island.
100%.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see New Hampshire.
Casey Affleck essentially outed me.
It's
the same thing.
Yes, it is. That somebody from Maine says, I'm a New Englander, has a problem with someone from Staten Island saying I'm from New York City. It's the same thing. There's five boroughs of New York City. Staten Island is one of them. And there are how many states in New England? Tell me there's five.
There's five.
Isn't that interesting?
Can you even name them?
Yes. Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island.
Yes.
And your hamlet, sir. The Staten Island of New England, Maine.
Connecticut, too. Technically, there's six.
And Connecticut is half. Half.
I'm just saying, the Wu-Tang Clan represents Staten Island, all right?
Connecticut's like the New Jersey of New England.
Oh, stop! Don't go there. Don't go there.
You are part of the metropolitan area.
We are our own. Yes, but we are our own.
Connecticut is part of the New England area.
Well,
Connecticut, come on now.
Southern Connecticut claims a little bit of New York.
Ask anybody in Southwest Connecticut.
Those people.
And there's everybody in Bristol.
They think they're New York.
Everyone Bristol's like right on the Mason-Dixon of Connecticut between New England and the New York metropolitan area. Connecticut, when you see the New York metropolitan area, it's New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Oh, but Connecticut's also part of New England. That's why it's the Jersey. It's the swing. It's the swing area, okay? Now, again, you're from Maine and part of New England, and I respect that. I don't know why it's not mutual.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Your New York arrogance doesn't allow you to really see Staten Island is
This guy, him and Casey Affleck, we're not insufferable, even though we're totally insufferable.
Says the insufferable Yankee fan.
Thank you, sir.
Holler at your boy.
Ask that guy. You told Method Man here that Staten Island's not.
And by the way, deep down, he knows that I'm right.
You're lucky it wasn't Ghostface. You said that.
Take the guest line. New England's finest, Susie Schuster's.
Oh, I thought Raekwon the Chef was called.
What's up, Susie?
This is the dumbest conversation I've ever heard.
No, it's not, Susie. No, it's not.
I'll tell you why. Because if you think about New England, you immediately think of like the shoreline of Maine, and you think of the lighthouse and lobsters. If you ask a guy from Nebraska about New England, he's going to say lobsters. He's going to say Maine, Rich.
No, he won't. No, Susie, no.
Nah, sure. I'm with
oh my God,
this one.
TJ, no, they won't. Are you kidding me? And by the way,
love
Rich,
having Susie as a
we
teammate.
We happened to sat Ellen together once. We got off the ferry. We put our foot down. Mm-hmm. We got back on a ferry. Mm-hmm. We went home to Manhattan, to New York City.
No, I know that, but we didn't leave New York City that entire time, Suze. Not once.
Well.
It's not like we went. It's not like we went to Omaha. We went to Staten Island.
Well,
the main of New York City. That's where we went.
So not the main of New York.
I'm on your side here, Rich.
Chime in. Wow. Had to chime in. Sorry. Bye, Susie. All right, bye, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Susie Schuster. Hopefully, there's not an actual hit and run.
Oh, stop! I gotta go after Susie.
Sorry, take the L here, bro.
It was a figurative one right there.
Rich, don't listen to him. You ain't taking an L on this one.
No, I
know. I'm not.
You want the guy who thinks Altoona is East Coast?
Yeah, I know.
Teammate?
That's a problem.
So what? That's not who you want.
That's a problem. I'd rather have Susie as a teammate in this, with all due respect.
All right, well, you know what? Now you're both on your own, all right? Because I ain't playing.
That's fine.
First of all,
I've been on my own from Staten Island my entire life. This is fine.
Neither one of you want me to get on either one of you. I
promise. Just keep Jersey out of it.
Roll your brake.
All right. There's it.
I don't know why I'm so angry all of a sudden.
Jersey out of your mouth.
I love you, Susie.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio. Simulcast with our ESPN Disney Plus and ESPN feed. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign, talk about it every day. And it's been going on for over 27 years. 850 dealers nationwide together have raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer, because did you know every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research to that amount. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more, please. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Tom Pelissero is about to join us here on the program, and one of the first item up for bids, to use the phrase of the Price is Right, is going to be, what in the world was that coffee like between Clint Kubiak, the new HC of the Las Vegas Raiders, and Max Crosby?
Ooh, baby.
What were they talking about? How far of a bridge needs to be mended? Or none at all? Well, Max Crosby appeared on the Let's Go podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. It's with TB12 and Jim Gray. Or is the official name of that, Let's Go!
Let's Go!
This is what Max had to say.
People are going to have rumors. I just looked at my phone. I've been working all morning. I got another, you know, everyone's hit me up. Did you say this? Did you? It's, I can't control that. You earn that as a player. You know, if I wasn't doing the right things, and if I wasn't the person and player I was, you know, people wouldn't be talking about all the nonsense. But that's what comes with it. If you have drama, if you have a losing season, they just try to throw gasoline on the fire and make, you know, things a certain way. And for me, I know what I'm about. I know what I represent. You know what I mean? I really don't care what everybody has to say. I used to a lot as a young guy. I really don't give a damn. People could have their own opinions. I know what's going on. I know my truth. And I don't need to sit here and keep, you know, rehashing it to people that don't know what's going on. So I don't even waste time with it.
All right. So fittingly, Jim Gray asked the follow-up question of like, all right, so what do you want?
What do you want?
I have a lot of goals, but I do want to win. That's all that matters ultimately. But I want to be in a place that where mentally I'm 100% myself. I just want to focus on football. That's truly what I want. People that know me know I'm about the work and football. I just want to play football and be left the fuck alone. Whoa. Period. And if people that don't understand that don't fucking know me. People can say whatever they want. I truly, and I'm saying this, like, well, you had to get on a show and talk about it. Yeah, that's my obligation. I have to do that. But truly, I don't give a fuck besides playing football and winning football games.
Well, I didn't know this was the LFG podcast. I mean,
he's like Kevin Durant.
He's like Ernest Jones.
Yeah. Like, all he wants to do is play basketball. Yeah. Hey, and that's
I don't think that's in dispute. The question is does he want to be a Raider while doing that? Does he want to be left the F alone?
To do that.
Or, unless that's his way of saying, leave me alone. I'm a Raider. So just leave me alone and end of story.
I mean, these reports aren't coming out of thin air.
I don't know. We'll ask Tom Pelissero what what is the genesis of all this?
Wow.
Okay. Heck of a coffee. Well, it's still, we know it was caffeinated.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.